Welcome to Curiosity Didn't Kill the Cat, a Social Fabric production with me, Andrea Splendori, and Dara Power. In this series, we look at curiosity and creativity, and we speak to a number of people about their journey. And today's guest is Sheila Walsh. Sheila is an artist from Tramore, County Waterford. Please subscribe, share, and review. It's much appreciated. For more episodes, please check out socialfabric.ie or wherever you get your podcast. The title tune is Happy and Shiny by The Roundabouts. So I don't know Sheila Dara, so you know, and I never met Sheila, but I've been following her artwork online since. I was just trying to remember, Sheila, how I came across you, and you did a portrait of a friend of mine, Ken Binley.
Yeah.
That's where
I think what happened was I went up to your swimming crew one morning in December in 2018. To take some images to do some work from, and that's a story in itself. But what happened as a result is that I kind of then made connections there. I didn't actually meet Ken on that morning, but he was in a painting that I did, and Alan Rowlett and obviously Dave and Steve. So his wife made a connection then and asked me would I do a portrait. And I've since then, Neil as well, we've become good buddies, and we're actually doing an exhibition in September together. So so it was lovely that one morning, and I made lovely connections. So I'd say that was obviously then where I came into contact and saw your work as well and what you're up to. So all good, all very fascinating.
And it's great because so Ken was a guest on the podcast a couple of years ago, and he does a wonderful footage from the sea, from within the sea, where he started off with his phone. And so what the very first live podcast I did was all about sea swimming. And I got Neil's video, and Fiac No Brain of the Hot House Flowers put music to it, and we presented as a new piece of music, which then turned out to be Fiac No went on to do an EP out of it called Winter Sun. So the whole thing just goes around this whole idea of the social fabric that I've had for years, and so we're all like six degrees of separation, you know.
Yeah. Because I had seen you do that, actually. I had seen that and I had been fascinated by it because I was a massive Hot House Flowers fan back in the day. So I was like, oh my God, look at this. It was like, this is incredible. So it's lovely seeing people's journeys. And Dara, I just started following you on Instagram. And I was like, oh my God, look what this guy is doing. So it's just brilliant. And I've listened to your, I just kind of caught up with some of your creative ones on the podcast. And so fascinating. Like, you know, you do need to feed off other people and see what they're doing. I just think it's brilliant, you know. And as much as I hate Instagram, that this is why I love it, you know, is the journey that you see people are on, and it's so inspiring.
Brilliant. So what Darren and I started to do, we haven't met physically yet, but we will soon.
Okay.
But we started, we're both very curious, and we're both really interested in the idea of creativity and what creativity is. And as you heard on some of the podcasts, it's not just artists, it's not just people do visual things. But when I was looking at your work, there's a few things that I thought it'd be nice to talk to you about, because obviously there's your creative side of it, which is the painting, and you can tell us all about it in a minute. But I'm just curious, we're both curious about where creativity comes from, and not so much like what inspires you, you know. I'm sure you can tell us all about that as well, but
yeah,
a little bit more. So really, maybe just tell us where you are in the world and what you do on a daily basis.
Oh, wow. I only started this as, if you want to call it, a professional career 4 or 5 years ago. I was 41, and essentially I'm a stay-at-home mom. That's my job. So I fit my painting and my creativity around that. And a little bit like you're saying, I would see the painting or the actual produced artwork as the end result now, especially because my time is really limited. So most of my creative work is actually in my head through most of the day. And so once I get to the physicality of working, then that's my end result. But it's really, I'm starting to appreciate more of the process in these meetings with other like-minded people. So yes, so like we're living, emotion is a massive part of our, I don't know what's happening there now. It's a massive part of our lifestyle here. I mean, all the children grow up surfing and skating in the water. And myself, my husband surf, I swim, but I don't do the dipping thing. I'm not very good at that. I get really cross. It's so cold. So I'm a distance swimmer. So yeah, our life kind of revolves around that. Very simple lifestyle. So yeah, I decided that I was going to try and work from home, and I hadn't really done any art. I didn't study art. I just always done it for myself. And so I thought, what can I do at home and stay with my kids and kind of be the full-time parent while my husband worked? But still, I suppose they were getting a little bit older, and a lot of my friends who were on maternity leave had gone back to work. So I was kind of starting to feel like I had lost my identity a little bit. And I thought, what would I do? And I decided that I would be an artist. And not having really done much in kind of 6 years, I really threw myself in the deep end, and I just was very lucky with some opportunities that came up at the time. And so it's been just rolling since. I haven't stopped. I mean, the term starving artist is a very real one. It is definitely a very difficult thing to make money from. And whereas I've had lots of really great opportunities and great things happen, a lot of it is better on paper than financially. So, because I had no background, I had no CV, I had no kind of accolades, I've had to really work hard to kind of build up a CV really quickly. So look, I mean, I feel very lucky, but it's definitely tricky because life gets in the way an awful lot. So I feel like I'm under constantly my own pressure, but I love it. I feel very lucky. So that's kind of where I'm at now, juggling like everybody else.
And can I ask a question on that, Sheila? Because one of the things, Andrea has this concept of a one-hour holiday, which is to be a little bit creative every day. And I would imagine the creative act of juggling, being a stay-at-home mom and painting, there's as much creativity as that in that, or more, yeah, than there is in the actual painting. And we have this kind of creativity as a way of living or a way of being, you know, and it's not just the art. So maybe would you talk about how your creativity applies in your everyday life?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's interesting there is when I said I didn't do anything creatively for 6 years, that's when my children were really small. And I actually found the act of parenting as it was all the creativity I could manage. So I had two under two, and every evening I would say, right, tonight at 8, I'm going to take out my paints or my pencils. I'm going to get back into this. And by 8 o'clock, I was in bed. So, you know, that battle went on for 6 years. And I think a lot of it was because I had no creative energy. Like the actual act of being a new parent and figuring that out. And every day is different. So every day is an experiment, and you get it right, you get it wrong. Whereas I had the real drive to physically create something, I was kind of content with not. Whereas now I think that I have that creative energy, a little bit of it. I think that if I wasn't physically creating now, I would really struggle. And I remember a great quote from Tracy Emin, which at the time I didn't have kids and I didn't understand it, but she said that she would either have been a brilliant mother and a terrible artist, or a terrible artist and a brilliant mother. And at the time I thought, that is such a negative, awful thing to say. Now, I don't believe it. I think that you can be kind of mediocre at both. I could never figure out why, you know, when I worked as a veterinary nurse, I could come home and parent, Whereas when I work as an artist, I find it really difficult to separate. I find it really difficult to separate the two, because I think, for me anyway, I'm coming from very much the same place with a lot of it. It's a lot of emotional creativity. There's a lot of figuring it out. It's a lot of getting it right, getting it wrong. And so, yeah, whereas I don't think she's right, I do understand that there's very much a difference of going out to a job where you can shut the door afterwards. I don't think you can shut that part of your brain down so easily. So I'm trying to be present. I'm trying really hard. It's not really working, but I am trying to be present as a parent. And that's that end of the creativity and just life. You know, I mean, every day you make a meal, you might do some gardening, you meet a friend. I think there's creation in that, because you come away with something different. So, yeah, I mean, it's a juggling act, but it's definitely different from doing a 9-to-5 job. I would definitely say there's a very fine line between your day-to-day life and being a creative in whatever form it comes in, because I think they're both consuming.
I'm going to ask you something, because you mentioned identity and your paintings, your work is, there's a certain identity. You know, you're looking at Sheila Walsh's painting now. When I, you know, it's, and we'll talk about that in a second, but you mentioned you lost your identity at one point, you know, you felt like you lost your identity. And the difference between the 9-to-5 and actually putting yourself on the canvas, if you want. Well, how did that help you?
How did it what, sorry?
How did it help did you finding your help. Own identity again? How what was that process like?
It was a slow build up. I had gotten very rusty, and I never really painted. I had always drawn and used paint as like a mixed media tool. So when I came back to it, I do remember getting a very distinct kind of like a breath out, like, oh my God, this, I have been missing this. But I think I had been so tired and busy that I hadn't recognized how much it was gone. And when I say identity, there's kind of a positive and a negative in that, because growing up, I had always drawn. And I suppose I got recognition, you know, for, I mean, I wasn't brilliant, but I could draw, and I could draw well purely because that's what I did all the time. And I got recognition for it kind of, you know, in your class or from your friends or whatever, very just, you know, your parents, of course, think you're fabulous, you know. But I think what happened as a result of that, my self-confidence wouldn't have been huge. And so I would draw pictures for people or give gifts of my artwork. And I felt like I wasn't enough, but if I could do this, that kind of maybe gave me a little bit more kind of, I don't really know how to say it, but I kind of gained my confidence in that. I think I saw, because I felt like it was such a very big part of me, like I got so much pleasure from doing it apart from anything else. And I would get so consumed by it. It was a huge part of me, whether my identity to other people, but really to myself, I think more than anything else. And then no more than every other parent, you know, especially when your children are very small, you're very much mom, 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 mom. And I had nothing to say for myself. I'd meet people and I was like, oh my God, I have nothing to say, you know, like I didn't want to talk about my children all the time. And so when I came back to it, I felt like a whole part of my brain opened up, and it was actually really nice to be able to think of something else other than housework and, you know, all those kind of things. And yeah, it just made me feel there was a part of the jigsaw put back, and it was a really good feeling. Now I go through awful torment, like I drive myself nuts, but I kind of like that. I don't like to go through life where things are too easy. My mother used to always say, why do you take such a difficult path with everything you do? And I think I would be bored. You know, I think I think I would be bored if I took the easy route with things too much. So I hope I answered the question. I'd probably go off on a tangent. You can pull
not
me back.
Not at all. Tangents are great. but Dara's nodding there when you were mentioning a few things about painting and drawing. Dara, what's
your question? So I was reading a book called Drawing as a Sacred Activity recently. That there's kind of a, you know, there's a feeling aspect when you draw. Like I draw as well.
Yes, I've seen yours. It's fabulous.
And it's not that I'm any good at it, but there's a kind of like a, you're not really thinking about so much when you're drawing. But it's what's interesting for me here is there's kind of like a sacred space when you're in that mode. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's just like a, you're not thinking about too much. You're just, and you spent a lot of time in that. But then when you took it up again, it's almost as if you'd outgrown it because you were like, yeah, drawing, I could do that. And for me, the thoughts of painting would be like, oh man, I'd butcher that. It'd be terrible.
Well, I've butchered loads of things. I've butchered so much stuff. I'm still butchering stuff.
talk about the maybe the sacred space of it, and then the, you know, what was going on in you when you moved from drawing to painting? Like what was the kind of the.
Yeah, it was difficult, and I'm still finding it very difficult because I've just taken up oils in the last year, and that is blowing my mind. Like, you know, it's kind of funny now. I go to the studio in the evenings and I come home. My husband will say, well, how are you going? And I go, good. And I've just painted over the same thing, like for the 50 millionth time, because the oils aren't doing what I tell them. So it was very humbling. I just did a mentorship, just to come back to that. I just was awarded a mentorship with a painter, Kathy Barron, through this art form art school, Big Look. And she said to me that when I'm painting, I'm depending too much on my drawing. So you've seen people paint and they can do like really just gestural lines and then they'll build up the form from that. Whereas I will spend hours and hours drawing the form and then I nearly essentially color it in. So in the last few years, I've been learning how to use paint, and it has been, it's been really exciting in one way, but because you're constantly, it's like a constant correction of yourself all the time. My process is slow, so that can be a bit frustrating. But what she said to me was to keep my drawing and painting as two separate entities. And whereas I can use the drawing to build up the composition and the form to then be able to paint out and let go a lot of that form. And then she said, keep your drawing as just a separate practice. And it's actually been so freeing. It's given me a real kind of nearly allowing myself to experiment with the painting and be able to let all that hours of drawing go and then spend hours and hours and hours fixating on drawing, you know. And it's been really nice because even when I say drawing, Dara, like I didn't understand about pencils, values, composition, like all this is made up as I go along. So whereas it's great, the whole learning aspect, when it becomes then what you're trying to make as a profession and your time is limited, that time for experimentation is very small. And that can be sometimes can be a little bit frustrating because you have to be allowed to make a million mistakes. And then, you know, there's so many good people out there, so many good people that, now I wouldn't compare myself to other people because you can't, but you're very aware of your position. You know, like I have been struck recently with how little I know about paint. Like it's a whole world in itself and I really know nothing. So I think last summer in particular, I got really overwhelmed and actually I found myself blocked. I felt I couldn't go to it because I thought before I was tootling along thinking, oh, I'm doing okay. And then when I realized how much I didn't know, I got completely kind of knocked sideways by it and had to stop for a little bit. So yeah, I would see painting as something that I like, but I still prefer drawing. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Dave Zabosky, who we've had, myself and Andrea spoke to, said, how many people does it take to finish a painting? Two, the painter and somebody to go knock it off.
I listened to that one, actually. It was really, he was very interesting, really interesting.
What I was thinking this year when you were talking about the drawing and the painting, and as I say, your style, it's quite unique and it's fabulous. I absolutely love it. I was just looking through to remind myself that you have a beautiful one of Detty. Again, it's somebody I know, Detty or Dottie, Detty, in the Strong Women collection. And she's out there swimming every morning. And in so little, I mean, it's just her with the the robe, and a cold, looks like a cold morning. All of that is there in that one shot. And it's amazing because your style is quite, now that you're talking about it, I can see where it's coming from. The drawings, building it up, and all these strong lines, the face, the hands, you know, this is great, you know. It's very expressive, but it's interesting what you're saying, that what you said earlier, that you really need to challenge yourself all the time. So you're comfortable with your style at this stage, I'm guessing. You can do a portrait, you can do, and now you go, no, I'm going to go oil and I'm going to forget about the drawing. What's that about?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny because, like, you know, I've, even Darragh there just was talking about his work, and he immediately, and I tend to do the same. So it's part of me going, oh my goodness, saying, oh, but I'm not very good. And I know, like, I've complimented some of your work and you're like, oh my God, thanks, because I'm exactly the same. You know, like I will see the things that I've done wrong or the mistakes, or there's really no work I put out there and I go, that's good. You know, I kind of go, that's okay for now, but I need to get better. You know, so I didn't, you know, style is a tricky one, isn't it? Because you can recognize people's hand in work, you know, like you can see, they might even copy or have a similar image, but you can see the hand is different. Definitely, I became comfortable with acrylic. I will say that, because I had found a way only in the last few years to make it work for how I wanted to build up a painting. And the oils are challenging me, but then you kind of can slip backwards with your confidence and think, well, actually, I'm not good enough, you know, and I kind of nearly, how dare I put my work out there, you know, like, but then I will have moments where I go, do you know what, but I can do what I want, and there's nobody judging me but me, and everybody is so kind, and if they don't like it, I'm actually really fine with people not liking my work. And what I would hate is that somebody walks by a piece and it doesn't make them think. So I don't want to do pretty work, I don't want to do dark or distressing stuff either, but I don't want to paint a pretty scene. Or you know, like, my husband will come home from work and he say, oh, I saw the most beautiful sunset on the way home, you need to paint it. And I say, oh, that, you know, I say, no, that sunset is beautiful by itself. It does not need to be painted, you know. So I'm moving forward. I'm never happy. There'll be elements I go, yep, that's good. And for me, with the drawing and the painting, I still feel sometimes it isn't enough. You know, I'd love to be doing more 3D work. Still not exactly sure how I would go down that, but I find it so exciting. Like, every day I can't wait to get to it. Like, I say to my kids all the time, I am so lucky. I'm broke, but I'm so lucky that I get to do this. Because my son had said to, I kind of passed it off the first time, it was a couple of years ago. And he'd been getting a lift home from a friend. And the mother said to me, oh, you know, Ruben said you don't work. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I'd been up at 5 that morning and I was like, okay, I'll leave that go. You know, he's 7 or whatever. That's cool. And then he said it to somebody else. And one day I said, Ruby, you know, I work really hard, lovey. I said, I work when you're in school. Or I said, so maybe you don't see it so much. But, and he was like, but mom, you paint. That's like really good fun. And I was like, you know what? It is. It is really good fun, but you still have to work at it. So my style is something that I get a bit frustrated with sometimes, because I see other people's work and I go, oh my God, I would love to be able to get that gesture line. Or I'm very controlled and I'm very, and every time I try and put in a bit of a flurry or gesture, it just looks awful. So I'm trying to embrace the fact that you are what you are. You can learn new skills and develop what you have, but I don't think you can be something you're not. I think you do have to be true to what comes out. And for some works that I've done, maybe commission work, where it's not my thought or my emotion, I feel a complete disconnection, and I find them very difficult to do. So I've actually stopped doing them. And I definitely am not painting for anybody else but myself, because I found if I do that, it's nearly like I feel repelled from the piece. So it has to come from somewhere within, and I'm not trying to paint a nice picture. I'm trying to capture a moment. I probably went off on a tangent there as well. Yeah, and stop me if I'm waffling.
There's no problem.
One of the aspects that I love about your work is you almost always have in the compositions are brilliant, and it's almost mm-hmm. always an unusual angle of where the head is, you know.
Yeah.
It's like it's a very unique perspective. I think it's like a Bowron player, and then there's a lady getting out of water, and it's like the composition is really strong because it's kind of it's a perspective that I would never, you know, when I learned to draw, I could draw people front on, you know, but not at different angles, you know, but you have these kind of way of looking or a perspective that's very, so the style comes from the artist's eye. Mm. And when you are looking at for an arresting angle where does that come from?
I think I love exaggeration, and very often if you're looking at something from a different angle, it allows you to exaggerate form. So like you said, the head might be bigger or the hand might be bigger. And I love exaggerating features and form. Now, what that can do is I have to be very careful when I'm painting somebody or drawing someone that I say to them first, look, you're not going to look good in this, you know. I'm probably going to, if you have a feature that I really like, it's probably going to be stronger again. So, you know, nobody, like people would very often when I've painted them go, oh, yeah, yes. And there, and you can nearly see them going, is my nose really that big? But I kind of see things like sculptures, like that, you know, the face is put together. And what I am trying to do is because I see every single feature and I will draw it in, I'm trying to take some of them out. So I'm trying to leave suggestion. Which is something I think you have to develop. I think it has to evolve that you can learn form to where then you can leave things out and it still says the same thing, or people can see. You'd see a lot of artists that have put very little mark in, but you still know exactly what it is because you can find it. Your brain does the rest of the work. And I think eventually I would love to get to that. But the angle is something, yeah, I do love coming in from a different perspective. And I think it just makes you, again, the viewer has to maybe put their own spin on it then a little bit. And that actually, the one with the Bowron is actually Limon Mainly. He played in my kid's school there recently. And it was funny because I gave him the drawing afterwards. And you could see he can't even went, yes. And I hope he likes it better once he'd sat with it for a bit. But I was like, well, no, that's good. Because like I said, I would hate someone to go to pass it and not have an opinion. I'm actually kind of cool if people say, don't really like it, don't really get it. I'm like, oh yeah, cool, that's cool, I like it, I'm happy with it. No more than if I'm not happy with something and somebody says that is really good, I go, well, your opinion, thanks so much, I really appreciate it, but it doesn't change how I feel about it. I either like it or I don't like it, and more often than not I don't like it. So yeah.
Sheila, I know we're all kind of self-critic of our own work or whatever. It doesn't matter what the work is, but you just got back into a few years ago, right? 5 years ago. And am I correct to say you ended up in probably my favorite show on television, which is, there's two of them. The favorite one is Portrait Artist of the Year, and the second one is Landscape Artist of the Year. You ended up on the second one, the Landscape Artist of the Year.
I did both of them.
Oh, you did both of them. Okay, tell us a bit about it, because that's just phenomenal to get on to that. And what was that like?
Well, it was brilliant. So being on the show, both shows, like if I was to just condense it, it's absolutely fantastic. For both of them, they definitely don't suit how I work. And certainly for Portrait Artist, I had like that one was okay. So very simply, I decided I was going to go back painting in 2018. And I had done life drawing for years and years. And I'd never really concentrated on the face. And I just finished watching Portrait Artist, which again, one of my favorite programs. And I thought, like that, I'm going to become a painter. Little did I know what a journey that would be. But I decided I'd do a self-portrait as a way of getting my hand back in, but also that I wanted to kind of start to work, concentrate on how to build the face. It was something I hadn't really ever focused on. So I did a self-portrait, and literally just as I finished it, the call from Portrait Artist finished and the call came out for applications. So I thought, oh, here, I'll throw it in. And you know, when people, they do the whole kind of, oh, you know, I didn't think I'd get in, but I genuinely did not think I'd get in. Like, it was 5 minutes before the deadline. They needed a shot of you. I was there with my phone. I looked like the mafia. No bio, no history, nothing. I just sent it in. And then I was in my kid's swimming lesson and I got this call. It was a UK number. And I was like, oh, and I answered it. And honestly, like, I was like, oh, no, I don't think you have the right person. So I was very honored to be chosen. It was an absolutely brilliant day, but I definitely wasn't ready for it. Like, I was so out of practice. Portraits weren't my thing. Paint, I went over with 5, like red, yellow, blue, black and white. Like, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. The whole experience was great, but I was so out of my depth that I think, now I say if I went back now, but I don't think I'd probably maybe start off better, but definitely the 4 hours would never work for me. I'd get like one tiny corner veneer done. But also I think it is TV, you know, so the experience is fantastic. The judges are brilliant. The whole day, like, you start at 7:30 in the morning and it finishes at 7:30 at night. And I won't go into portrait arts too much, more from the point of view that I definitely wasn't ready for it. I had a brilliant day, no regrets, but I wouldn't have progressed. And landscape artist, not a landscape painter. Again, was really shocked to be chosen. And the experience was fantastic, but me in a green field, it doesn't work. And then also the 4 hours doesn't work. So when I went over, I was very much embraced the fact that I'm going to enjoy the day, but I'm not going to get past the heat. And I didn't mean that negatively. I know where I'm at now. So whereas I would be a better painter than I was for the portrait artist, just with practice, I knew I wasn't going to get anywhere. So I just went and enjoyed the day and I had an absolutely brilliant day, but it was during COVID. So it was quite stressful to get over. And then I was worried I'd get stuck there and we were moving house. And so I thought, oh, I'd be so, so much better this time around. And I wasn't. It was awful. It was awful. But yeah. I had great fun.
Yeah, fair play to you. I mean, it's not easy to get on it. Just one last thing before I pass it on to Dara, but you even your language, and I'm thinking about you as a sea person, you know, you're surfing, you're swimming out of your depth. You know, there's a lot of parallel there, which what you're putting yourself out there all the time on the surfboard and what you're putting yourself out in the painting. Am I wrong? Is there some parallels there?
No, there probably is. I think very much, you know, like, there's times when I'm paddling out in surf and it's big and as comfortable as I am in the ocean, in my head, I won't swear on this, but I'm like, you know, like, I have to talk to myself when I'm out there and go, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine, this is good. Or, you know, if it's a big wave you're paddling into and, you know, you're getting the heebie-jeebies, you have to commit, you know, because if you don't commit, if you pull back or you hesitate, then you're annihilated. So I think a little bit the same with this. Sometimes I put myself out there, you know, you apply for things and you get a huge amount of rejection. And I used to think it was just me. And then you see people who I would see as really established, really talented. And everybody is very much in the same position. You know, it's, you're constantly putting yourself out there for kind of acceptance, rejection, a good day, a bad day, you know, and the same when you're in the water. And for me, like, my mornings, especially when my kids are at school, is, right, how can I get in the water and how do I get to the studio? They're my two priorities. And I used to feel kind of nearly guilty if I would go out and surf and I'm like, okay, I'll go in at 11. And then I say, no, I'll just do another 20 minutes. And then I'd have the guilt. And then I think, you know, but I have to allow myself to do it, because otherwise I'd be in the studio and I'd be fighting with myself that there was surf. So to see it, that it is very much all part of it. And that, again, I suppose what I'm trying to shout about in my work is my experience in the ocean, the people I meet, the community that revolves around the ocean. It's not so much the physical act of the swimming or surfing, but it's what it, it's kind of like the tribal element, you know? So I think from that angle, it is very much. Yeah, no, I think I would never have thought of it like that, but yeah, 100%. Yeah.
It's interesting to me because there's a commitment and connection, you know, like one of the things we started off before we were on air, you were talking with Andrea about one day where you met a friend and there's this kind of connection. And now you're like, because you're committed to the life of an artist in the same way as you commit to a wave. I have a friend who's into quantum physics and he basically says, like, you know, there's not really any difference between falling or flying. So when you commit, you don't know whether you're falling or you're flying, you know. But the act of commitment puts you into a situation and all these connections emerge. And it seems like you have commitment in the sea. And then you also at the start mentioned about committing to being an artist. And you said, and I've been busy ever since. There's on this connection, there's this connection, there's this connection. So maybe how do you see your commitment bringing the connections?
That's a lovely way to look at it. You know, I have met the most incredible people since I started painting. And the whole social media thing, I think, like all of us, you know, especially when you're creative, you find yourself, whereas it's such an incredible tool, and it really is, and the opportunity, the connections, the artwork, you know, writing, music, whatever your form is, it opens a whole world that wouldn't have been there before. So I think that it is hugely positive. But then, of course, with it, then there is the negatives. But if we stay on the positive, the connections that I've made through my artwork, people that I never thought I would come into contact with, like a lot of them artists in their own right, that I would have just like looked up to and thought, oh my God, that person, you know, and kind of had them on a pedestal. And through my journey through, whether it's through exhibition or courses or whatever it is, the people I've come into contact with that I thought were otherworldly, and they're all the same, you know, we're all the same, incredible people. Not just artists, essentially, but like in so many walks of life through my painting journey. And it's just been so, it's been really exciting. Like, you know, like I just find that I love every day I get up and I think, right, what's, you know, what am I going to do today? You know, it's great. Like, and I have made incredible connections. And actually, you know, like you said, even that one morning up with the crew up with the like swimming, and like just that in itself has led on to other things. And that was only one moment. So I found that the art world in itself is very small, like anything, you know, that's a little bit niche. It's quite small, but not just in Ireland. Like I've made connections in the UK and in other countries. I just think it's brilliant. Like I just get a kick out of, I like to say, you know, I see what other people are doing and their studios, and I'm just like every day going, oh my God, but you can do anything. Like you literally can do anything if you put your mind to it. And sounds really cliche, sounds really now, you know, kind of, but you can actually, you know, you can, but you do have to work at it. And I think that's no more than me saying about my son saying, but you don't work. You know, I'm still trying to show them that you do have to work hard to make it work. Because I think if you even sit back with something like this, you know, my mom would say to me, and I mean, they're incredibly supportive and they always have been, but she'd say, oh my God, you got this award or you got this whatever. And I go, it was brilliant. I feel so incredibly lucky, but now I need to move on. Because if you can't sit on your last good thing, it definitely, and I suppose for anyone who works for themselves, you have to keep thinking what's next. Because if you stop for even 5 minutes with this, I have seen that it dilutes very quickly. So I mean, it's the connections I've made, and like you said, not just artists, yourselves, and your artists in your own right, And like I say, I looked at your stuff and I was like, oh my God, like I just think, oh my God, look, that's a whole other, like, I just love how people's minds work and how they see things. Like I said before, I used to think that unless it was the actual piece of artwork I created, and now I see that actually that's a very, very small part of it. It's really small, depending on the type of artist you are, I suppose. But everything you come into contact with will be an end result, you know.
And it's interesting, you know, because the old cliche, it's not enough that I succeed, others must fail. I don't find that at all in art.
No.
As a community, it's like, wow, your stuff is amazing. And it's like, and it's like people aren't in competition with each other. Your more biggest competition is with yourself. You're going, God, the angle that she looks at things is so much better, you know. And then you learn as a result of it. It's like, and Andrea has this observation that behind envy is hidden passion. You know, so when you look at somebody and you go, they're brilliant, you kind of go, and I can learn that. You know, I can take that artist's eye and help my artist's eye develop and see in a new way. And that it's a very collaborative, communal kind of experience. And that's what it sounds like for you as well.
Yeah, very much. Very much. And no, it isn't. You definitely... I suppose that's even with the landscape and the portrait artist, like it's completely subjective, you know, like, so that's a TV show. So it's different in a sense, but it's so subjective. Like I only figured out what art appreciation actually meant in the last couple of years. Like I was, you know, is that you can fully appreciate the skill, the time, the work, the talent, but it doesn't mean you have to like it. It's that you appreciate it. So you mightn't want it hung in your home. And I think like that, you know, it is very true. Like if I'm struggling with the piece at the moment and I can't see how I'm, again, it's a funny angle, but just to come back to what you're saying, I can't see how to get this line on the face here. And so I'm looking at loads of other artists, pieces of similar, of the head of artists that I admire. And I'm trying to see how do they actually do that, you know? Or like if I go to an exhibition, I'm up looking, going, how do they make those marks? How do they do that? You know, and it's not, I used to think it's that copying, but it's not, it's learning. You know, it's someone who's steps ahead. And like you said, the support is great. And what I've also found is like when you're applying for exhibition submissions, I try when I can to put up, well, I didn't get this, or I was, you know, this was a rejection, or this was, because it can be lonely, you know, as in you'll see everybody else put up, oh, I got into the RHA this year, and you think, oh my God, and I didn't get in, you know, and you can take it really personally. And sometimes it is, sometimes your piece is just crap, like it just isn't good enough, you know. And then sometimes it's because they have their 10 figurative pieces, they have their 10, you know, and you just didn't make the cut that time. And I am, you know, I will have the little chat with myself as in, good for them. Well done, that is absolutely brilliant. And I didn't get there this time, but maybe the next time. And then to show other artists that, you know, you do, like, there isn't just all the Instagram kind of world of, I got this, I got that, that to show that sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes it goes in the bin, sometimes you don't get in, you know, a lot of the time, actually, you know. So, and yeah, and then to be able to, I suppose, put up the positives too, you know. So yeah,
so just to loop it back to the beginning, talking about envy and connection, so I'm really envious you didn't portray me when you were over in Greystones, but I'll let that slip. But you still have time.
I get you yet.
You still have time. No, but going back to your collaboration with Neil Meehan of Neil's C Studio. Studio. So as we said, he does an amazing photograph from the sea, and you do a lot. So tell us a bit about that exhibition. When is it going to happen? When can we look forward to? Where do we find that?
Great. Well, it'd be a lovely excuse for you all to come to Tremor, actually. So I can't actually remember how myself and Neil, well, I do remember as in we met that morning really briefly. I think I made some joke and that was it. And then I can't remember how the connection happened there. And Yvonne, actually, my God, it's terrible. I don't know her second name. She does beautiful ceramics, you know, of the swimmers. So she's going to be part of it too. And there's two more artists from Tremor, a photographer and a sculptor, all based around the ocean. And it's going to be in, it's an old Coast Guard station that's been renovated into a cafe and then a gallery space upstairs. It's just the most incredible location. It's looking out over the whole bay. So it's beautiful. So we had chatted about maybe collaborating, just myself and Neil initially, on work. And then we were like, well, Yvonne would be perfect. That would bring another element into it. And then, like I say, I have two friends here who do work around the ocean as well. So that would be happening in September in Tremor. And it was actually lovely. Neil had a photo shoot to do in Tremor for a campaign he was doing, and he needed a guide of the coastline. So I was lobosuous for that one. I was like, oh, I'll help you. That sounds great. So we actually got to spend some time together, two full days, and it was just great getting to know him and also seeing how he works. And I loved how, you know, we'd turn the corner and he'd see, like, again, like that, an angle or part of the coastline or whatever, and his excitement. And you know, just that again, he sees it from in the water, obviously. And then, you know, but it was just fabulous seeing his perspective and how passionate he was, like, you know, and his energy. And we had so much fun. We had absolutely great time. So it was lovely to get to know him a little bit more personally beforehand. So that would be good. But we need to get our act together and, you know, chat about it properly. But he's hoping to come down here again in the next couple of months. He's seen some other bay. I posted a photograph and he's like, I need to go to that place. So yeah, he's going to come down and we'll chat then. But yeah, I hope he'd all come.
Oh, we will. But that's great. And I love that idea of the perspectives. That's one of the things I do when I do my coaching work. I always say to people, you know, just literally do cross the road when you come out of the house. If you turn it left every morning, try to turn right and look backwards, see what happens. You know, things change, you know, everything changes. We're so used to get up and do the same thing over and over. Then spending some time with somebody that looks at, as you look at the perspective from a different angle than me and Dara, then Neil looks at it from inside the sea. And some of, you know, I look at the picture he takes of the sea that I know so well, and I don't recognize it because I never look at it from that side, you know. So the next time you go in the sea, you go, oh, that's the way Neil looks at it. That's an interesting angle. I never thought of it, you know. So it's that change of perspective is fabulous. It really gives us extra juice to work on, you know. It's the same picture, just looking at it three, four different angles. It's fabulous. I love that.
Yeah, it is. And especially when you've all been in the same ocean, you know, like, and what everybody gets it from it is different, but it's a shared experience as well, which is lovely.
Yeah, brilliant.
And something I noticed on your Instagram feed, Sheila, is the role of art in society and the role of artists in society. You know, like Andrea mentioned, different perspectives. And you see a lot of kind of like, you know, funding of education that goes in particular directions towards particular perspectives, whereas art is more of a producing multiple perspectives and looking for multiple perspectives. Have you got any thoughts on being an artist in society and the role of artists in society, or the role of art in society? That you know, because if it's hard to make a living at it, then, you know, yet during lockdown everybody watched movies, listened to music, you know, learned to paint, did drawing courses, you know, like it was a thing that people turned to. So I don't know, have you got a broader thought on that?
Yeah, it's funny. I do think about it sometimes, Dara, because, you know, I get my moments of, you know, they're like that. There are so many brilliant people out there. What's the point in me adding to the noise? You know, like I say, I would do it for myself anyway. I always have done it. So only in the last few years I suppose I put it out there. But and again, like that, you know, do we really need art? Does it really matter? And I think you are right. I think the lockdown really brought out the creative side in people, in whatever form it came. People started cooking, gardening, painting, music. And I think it's nearly a kind of a thing where I think it's a part of our brain that we probably don't use enough. And
as a result of that, or we block it by filling it in with our such busy lives that really COVID showed us that how busy are we really, or what are all those things that we're doing that's taking up that time and that part of our energy, that if we actually sat back and, like, your 1 hour holiday, which is incredible, and nearly gave ourselves permission to create. And so I, coming back to your point of then how it works in society, again, like that, there's times when I think, well, you know, do we really need that sculpture there or that piece of artwork, or, you know, but what I'm trying, and that's more me not, again, not being negative, but justifying what I do when then there isn't money, you know, like I kind of think, well, I can't afford to get new paint, or I can't afford to apply for that submission because I don't dip into our family income, you know, like if I'm doing this, this is for me. And so if I make money from it, I put it back into my artwork and then pay a few bills, and that's how it works. And there is a lot of funding out there. It's difficult to get, really difficult to get, big lengthy applications, and they're tricky, you know, they're kind of having to articulate something that they want, a certain format or style of writing or, you know, statement. And but I think not just through lockdown, but what I do see is that we need it. I think we need it for that part of our soul and our spirit that isn't touched, you know, because we're trying to just get through life. It's survival, really. You know, even though we're living in a very privileged society, I think we're working on the wrong energy. You know, when you see people in countries where they get up and they have to work so hard for their food and for their lifestyle, but I would say 9 times out of 10, they're probably happier. So I think, but that's all creative. Their daily lifestyle of going out and plowing the field and, you know, going out and finding water, it's all creative. It's how do we, whereas we go in and we sit down and we do what is said on the tin. And I think if that part of our brain and to create, to cook, to garden, to all those things that we've lost, I think because that art is really important. And I think it, aesthetically, yes, I think it can, we need beautiful things. I think it gives us happiness, you know. And if we have put a person in a dark room with nothing there, it will lower their, I would imagine, would lower their morale. And I think now I'm starting to just say, well, you know, I used to feel like, well, I shouldn't have to apply for funding. I should be able to make the money through my paintings. I'm selling what I produce, and why can't I kind of keep on top financially? But I think what the funding for artwork is doing is it's saying, yes, our community does need this. And so we as you know, the Arts Council or whatever, we're giving you that support to provide artwork for the community we live in. And so I've turned my head on how, now I apply for everything. You know, I'm like, apply for everything. Yeah, get 1 out of, you know, the 10 you apply for. But now I can see why that funding is there and why it's important. And as much as I don't think there is, I mean, it's difficult. I would love to buy more artwork, and, you know, I it would be way down on my list. So I think it's tricky because artwork is expensive, you know, and for Joseph to put it on their priority list, it's not high. So I think then you have to turn your head on how you approach it and how you finance it so that you can make it viable without selling your soul, you know. Because if you said, well, I'm going to do pet portraits, you probably could make a pretty, wouldn't say, you know, it'd still be hard, but you could make a weekly income for sure. So, and we need people who do pet portraits. You need people who do everything. But more what it means, if you, sometimes I feel like I'm digging a hole for myself by only painting what I would like, what I want to do. And then I think, well, if I painted 10 lighthouses, I probably have a much better, in a nice sunset, I probably have a much better chance of selling them, but then I'd be miserable. So it's a tricky one. It's tricky, but yeah, you can be a commercial artist and you probably could make an okay living, you know? So yeah, but then you have to be dead to be appreciated sometimes, I think. No.
Well, that's not going to happen yet. So listen, just before we let you go, where would you need to surf? What's the last place? If you were to pick one place, are you going to surf? You haven't surfed yet. Where is that going to be?
Oh, well, okay. So I would say Hawaii, because that's the kind of stereotypical answer. But I think it would just have to be because, again, the water's warm. And so you don't have hood and boots and gloves. And I think just again, because it's the culture, it's part of their expression. And to me, as much as I love swimming and I swim distance and I'm in the ocean, and to me, surfing is like, it is an art form. I longboard, so it's kind of like a dance, you know, and every wave is different. Every time you have to navigate and think, how will I make this work? It either works, you wipe out, or it works. And you can have days in the ocean where it's like from start to finish, it's a battle, and you can have the days where it flows so well. And so I think I'd just love to go to Hawaii, obviously to surf and to be in the ocean, but just to, I think it's vastness, and just from the perspective of the culture and the land, and how it's so integral to how they, and I know a lot of it has been lost through commercialism and all that, but, you know, there's still pockets there. But it's if I was to cut that out and go non-tropical, I would say the west of Ireland, any day of the week, the most magic place in the world, I think. So.
Absolutely. So it all hinges on that wonderful exhibition you're going to do in September. You might be in Iski or you might be in Maui. Is that
real? Yeah. That's, I like that thought. And if you think it, it'll happen.
Absolutely. And Iski is wonderful. And and then it's grown. So Sheila, that's been fantastic. Thanks a million for taking the time to talk to us. It's really, really interesting to hear how your artwork has been happening over the last few years. And it is fabulous. I'll put some links on the show notes for people to follow you on Instagram. I suppose it's the best place where you have most of your work at the moment. So anything that you have to let us know, we'll put the link to the exhibition. If you have, send it to me and I'll put it on the show notes. But otherwise, I'll leave the last word to Dara.
Yeah, thanks, Sheila. That's really, it's amazing, you know, and I love the your unique perspective on things. And, you know, I think the reason I asked the question about art and society is like you said, it's we not only need beautiful objects and beautiful things, but we need people who are committed to making them as a reminder to the rest of us that that it's still a very, you know, still a great way of being in the world, and that's still possible. So thank you.
Well, thank you both, because I have been inspired by the two of you, and it's just lovely to chat. And I know I probably went off, you know, on tangents or waffled a bit, but it's lovely to the questions you asked, are because you're just in your own trajectory and you don't really think about what you're doing so much from an outside perspective. Thank you for the questions you asked and just for the interest. It's really nice. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
And I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Sheila Walsh. If you did, please rate us, review us, and share the episode. It would be much appreciated. If you can, subscribe at socialfabric.ie or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you. Just asking for more.
Sunny days, we left some dreams.